I'd like to see a vibrant community
I
here,
had
and
this
actually,
idea.
We
That's
have
kind of
like
shocking.
a number of
It's
people.
already here. We have the resources.
You said about
We have the will to do it. You know, we
I
have
think
the solidarity with other islands. I think the big thing is like
we
that
can hope
ties
for
it
the
all
best
together
there.
Is governance. That's the key here.
The following voices and visions are brought to you by the Smart Islands for Scotland and Ireland project. In these recordings, we heard from Irish Islanders about their visions in 2025. In this episode, we will be talking about that infrastructure.
I'd like to see a vibrant community here.
The kind of change for young people in industries and whatnot. And they have got a wealth of knowledge and a wealth of information.
Paul Tugulian is here in 2025. Our renewable energy plan is working really well. Almost all our houses are now reliant on solar panels and heat pumps, and we're moving away from selling fossil fuels at the co-op. We're looking towards more sustainable tourism for businesses to invest and create revenue in other ways. We have looked at turning existing heritage sites into more profitable income for local families, and we have consulted with the locals, and all our young people are involved in the plan as well. Our internet is brilliant and we still have great phone signal, and more young people can stay here for longer and go to university from home online and get jobs working in IT and stay on the island. And we are also networking with the other Aran Islands and other islands around Ireland and supporting each other to become the best versions of the islands that we can.
Better improved access to the island is essential. Runa is a disaster, so we need safe year-round access on the mainland pier. It's just, it has to be done for students, commuters and the residents.
The major issue really for their lifetime, for the next 30 years, will be climate change. They're now in their early 20s. They'll be in their 50s at least before the tide is turned on climate.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought one of the ideas that could be demonstrated on Cape or any other island really is to make them a demonstration of how climate change could be addressed on a small scale as a demonstration. Because I think there's a danger that the climate change agenda will be hijacked by the big companies, the oil companies that are now looking to diversify into climate change. There's a danger that it will become big scale and that small scale would be left behind. So the islands have the opportunity to housing, sustainable living, electric cars, hydrogen cars, all of those things. And that might be a funding line also into getting financing for that.
And then development of an inclusive eco-village. So we would be hoping it would include an enterprise centre for remote workers and entrepreneurs, then facilities for third and second level education facilities, a canteen, a gym and respite for the elderly. And then employment, looking at getting like 10 plus year round well-paid jobs, like in line with mainland standards, and to meet the needs of, like, you know, our skilled workforce that are on the island. And like, I just a side point on that is that, like, it's vital for the modern woman as well, because, you know, like 20, 30 years ago, women got married and they had kids and stuff. But like the likes of me now, you know, I'm in my early 30s. I'm not going to move back to home to the island if there isn't a job there. Like, I want a job.
The first major vision we discussed would be a big technology upgrade for our island. One of our island's strengths is we have a great population of, you know, young adults who have grown up in the technology age. So we're very used to technological communication. We are we would have kind of grown up with technology, so we have a lot of motivation and a lot of passionate people about making sure that we have the technology to kind of keep up with the mainland. And so would like to see a technology hub here. We'd of course like to see an infrastructure upgrade via fiber optics and whatnot. We've actually already got fairly decent kind of internet structure on the island as it is, so we definitely identified that as a strength that we could work off of to get that started. We do have, because we have decent internet here, we have a lot of tech savvy people here that I think would really ultimately benefit from our vision.
Started in inroads into a lot of our goals, and one of the main one I suppose that we will have up and open will be the reopening of our heritage center. We would have had a heritage center here on the island, and that would have closed down due to renovation works being needed on the building, and then the recession would have hit and then nothing happened, and so we had gotten funding for Fall to Ireland. So between that and works that Uther has put into it, that is up and running again. And it's been a huge beneficial all year round indoor facility, telling the story of the island, the story of the people, and very modernized, you know, the way things are now, and the little questions that people like to know, not just the kind of the history and all that. So complementing, of course, our OPW site, which would be Dunningus and all the other sites on the island. So that will be up and running, providing full-time jobs. We'll have brought families home from the island. So the benefits would be manifold, increase schools, attendance in schools, and as well housing, turning some of those self-catering housings that we do have into more permanent housing, and some are for sale. So kind of, you know, we still have them, different types of accommodation. Our tourism will be strong again, and we would have gone more into, on the island, it would have started during COVID, but very much so into the food, the home industry, the kind of crafts. They would have all come together as a group and set up like a network, and would be selling different kind of crafts made from the island, but I suppose be a bit more organized and be selling collectively and through a website. And we would have developed our own website too, so a lot more linkages and a lot, you know, very much focused, like we would have said, on community and back to basics.
By 2025, we hope it will be more self-sufficient. It's all following on from what we've kind of learned from, I suppose, our lockdowns at the moment. We've kind of all reverted back to growing our own veg where possible and going back to fishing. So, and then, you know, stemming from that, then hopefully a conversation that'll come up will be perhaps, you know, like a Saturday farmers market or so forth. Yeah, I just think that really just the centre hub on the island, and the social hub is important.
It's a disgrace there's no specific department for the islands at the moment.
I think unless there are not only jobs but careers on the island, everything else almost doesn't matter, because the population will die and it will just become an uninhabited island, which I would hate to see happen. So I think that's really important. I think that this is so much more than just an island issue. I think if you look at any town up and down the length of the country, so if you take Donegal, for example, if you look at Fintown, you look at Doohery, you look at Carrick, you look at any town, maybe except for Letterkenny, they're all empty. Everyone's leaving them. Everyone is flooding to Dublin or to London or to Sydney or wherever they feel like they have to go to get a good job, to get a career. Our rural communities, not just islanders, this is so much bigger than an island problem, they're dying. And the cities can't sustain them. There's no, all the schools are full, all the roads are full. There's no housing, people can't afford housing, they're paying extortionate prices on rent. And the cycle continues, right? And I just don't think it's sustainable. I think what needs to happen, what I would like to see happen, my vision, is the government would step in, and I know that they're speaking about doing this already, and allowing people, no, let me rephrase that, forcing companies or incentivizing companies, maybe by tax breaks or, you know, just putting in blanket rules that, you know, X amount of your workforce have to be given the opportunity to work from home, to work remotely. And I don't mean come into the office one day a week, because that's no good to us up here. You still would need to be in commuting distance of the office, right? I mean, properly, 100% remotely. And I mean, look, I know this can't happen in any industry. Obviously, if you're a waitress or a plumber, some jobs are hands-on. But I think with the COVID pandemic, there's been a shift, and, you know, people realize that working from home is possible, working remotely is possible. So I'd like to see us take advantage of that. Maybe if the government did some, you know, tax incentives, you know, for every worker that you allow work from home, you know, and make it worth their while. That's my vision.
So I suppose in 2025, I see myself as being retired from this current job.
Uh-huh.
And looking for an outlet to do something different. So as I said, I have an old house that I have half renovated at the minute. And I have planning permission for a cafe, restaurant thing there. So hopefully in 2025, I'll have it open, and that it would be open from sort of March until November, to catch the kind of visitor that comes in when nobody else wants to serve them. Because where we are, you're talking about hotels, being open, the bar usually is the only place that's open in the winter time. So it would be nice if somebody's going on a walk over our direction, that they would have somewhere in the off season, you know. So you'd be planning, because it would be feasible, I suppose, to be open. It's a small building, it's a small outlet. So I would be hopeful of pottering around, I'd put it like that, there, just making some nice homemade breads, homemade nice tea, coffee, that kind of stuff, doing a bit of baking, and having, you know, maybe then in the full, over the full season, that you would have 2 to 3 workers employed. But my bigger vision for it would be that you would be producing everything. Everything that would be produced would be from the island. So the meat you would have would be local, the whether it's pork, whether it's lamb, whether it's beef. You'd be working with the fishermen, the existing fishermen that are here, to provide lobster, pollock, mackerel, crab, and that you would be growing some vegetables, and you'd also be, you'd have other people growing for you or on a commission basis. So kind of that's the vision for 2025, that you would have something that would be catering, you know, kind of open ahead of everybody else and mopping up the end of the season and the beginning of the season. So it would be something along that grounds. And then maybe in the off months of the year, that you could be running cookery classes in it, whether you could be doing them online or, you know, there's certainly an opening, I think, there. And there's half the world is learning stuff by Zoom and by Teams nowadays. I was on a call there not too long ago with 85 other people at €25 a head. So that guy made 2,500 for 2 hours work. So that's kind of, you know, so there is opportunities in this kind of COVID thing to develop that a bit further. But I'm very conscious of where I'm coming from a community base as well. I've always worked in community work. So I would see me feeding you would be feeding into a community plan of some kind, or, you know, obviously you wouldn't be doing something that the community didn't support. So I think that would be where you'd be looking. I think that would be important, that you had a community support for whatever kind of a business you set up. But certainly I think that's a vision that both myself and Imelda looked at and thought, you know, yeah, you'd need community buy-in.
I have two kind of separate ones. One is, as people have said, about interlinking islands. I think, the ferries should, like, especially like Shorkin and Cape and Hare Island are being so close, they could easily interlink ferry service, but it's through the department, and subsidies will have to be discussed, obviously, or how it will work, so you don't interfere with each other ferry operation. Interlinking for, like, people are staying for a week or two on the island and they can't, they have to go back to the mainland to go and visit the island next to them, or vice versa. That would be one. And the other thing would be, there's been quite a long term with the Arnmore Islands in Donegal for trying to get an inshore sustainable fishing licenses for the islands, an unsellable, basically, fishing license. for small boats, sustainable fishing, line caught fishing and like that, and plotting. It's not worth money. That's the problem. Licenses are big money for fishing boats, 60, 70, 80,000 for a license, and a boat would be worth 40,000. It's not economical, but to buy an A4 page worth 80,000. But we want to make sure these licenses can't be sold in the future as well. They have to stay on the island.
I think if you have this circular economy idea in your head, it's not about making maximum profit for it's providing a service more so for the community in which you live.
So the vision I went for is a community farm, and that will be realised by land being purchased or donated to a community co-op in which each household on the island pays like a small monthly subscription to cover costs. This in turn creates employment for a few local people, and then once a week veg is harvested, fruit and veg, and collected by each household on the island.
Just close my eyes and think of 5 years' time where I want us to be. So completed and had the installation of the open water organic salmon farm, which has given, eight, and I'm being maybe conservative, but eight full-time equivalent jobs. And so in the meantime, and in the preparation for this, that we built 6 3-bedroom houses, you know, which would be a 25% increase in the housing stock.
First thing we'd really need on the island is a secure pier so that people would feel safe, and it's a reliable service, so we're not depending on weather, because with bad weather there is a lot of cancellations.
Yeah, thank you. So my vision for 2025 for Inishbofin is that every house on the island has PV photovoltaic solar panels installed on their roofs, because nearly every house on this island has a south-facing roof, or if they don't have a south-facing roof, they have an east-facing roof. One of the good things about here as well, we have no shading or anything like that, so energy generation and stuff like that through photovoltaic would be no, there would be nothing stopping us from generating it. It's basically, so we'd be generating, like, because you can in some cases generate up to 50%, 60% of your usage. Obviously in the summer months that would peak, you obviously be generating more than you use, but the whole idea is that when they do bring in excess fees, that excess energy that we use or that we generate during the summer months, we can sell it back to the grid, and as I said, that can offset against what we are paying for over the winter months. Have the resources, we have south facing, there's no shading on the island, so there's no issue like that. And I think it's something that you could approach the islanders about a lot easier than, say, wind turbines or something like that. Aesthetically, solar panels aren't really an eyesore, so I think it'd be an easier thing to kind of pitch to an island as a community rather than, say, coming in with wind turbines or something like that.
That we've become more energy independent, that small little groups across the islands are producing energy, selling energy into the grid to create you can create a fund with that, but also we use that when we have excess energy like high winds to power lighting for different types of growth, or whether that be to produce water, run osmosis plants, things like that. Food, that we have a greater reconnection with the land and the sea, that people begin to grow food again and actually trade and sell food and find a way, instead of constantly importing, reducing plastic packaging. Grants for allowing to build tunnels, and like Ilan was saying there about a community area for people to be able to grow and communicate and be a system.
I myself have got short-term plans. I've got one which is a supplying a fire trailer to the island because we haven't got any sort of firefighting equipment. It was actually watching a television program about Rathkin Island. I realized that you can buy second-hand fire engines quite easy, but it's too big for our country lanes. So I've researched and in the process of kitting out a trailer that can be towed by a big 4x4 or a tractor that will have a couple of big water tanks on it, high pressure hose, and various other things like ladders and powder extinguishers and CO2 extinguishers. So that's one project that will take me this year to organise, and then I'm going to bring it over and donate it to Kate.
How's it going? My vision for 2025 takes the two of them in one: employment and food. And my vision, we would have a fully functioning fish filleting factory out here using local fish, creating an island brand to sell. It would create jobs out here for other people. Like, obviously, it would be given to all local tradesmen to construct. There was a course ran here years ago where it was from BIM, a fish filleting course, and there was about 12 or 13 people, localers, done it and are qualified in fish filleting, so that would create the employment. Versus, we have an extremely safe harbour here for tides, and they can anchor up and they're safe. Very skilled fishermen and local knowledge. Play to the island's strengths, and the island's strength is the sea. Fish filleting could create employment, and just kind of, that would be my vision for 2025.
We need this island policy, I suppose. That's my vision. I'd love to see an island policy for the islands of Ireland. And that the, as we say in Ireland, the fair play would be there for the island. Without it, I think it's going to be difficult. And I see now the department are not in now, but I know, as I said earlier, they are working on it. But that'd be my vision now before too long, that there'd be an island policy.
The next is that the island is entirely energy self-sufficient. There's no reason why it shouldn't be. And we get loads of help off solar panel energy experts to make that happen. We're also part of an inter-island hub where we are encouraging and promoting and working interdependently to get everything we all need, because we face the same issues across the board. We are as self-sufficient in terms of food as is possible, inspired by our neighbours in Inishmore with their wonderful food security and the co-op on Inishboffin. And we are also biodiverse and respectful and sustainable. One thing that's really personally important to me is having a notion of basically the circular economy. If a pack of biscuits come onto this island, I know I'm going to eat the biscuits, but I want to make sure that that packaging is going to be reused or at least recycled in the most efficient, effective way possible for my next pack of biscuits.
The main resource I see that we have on an island is the sea. I really do think we could, as islanders, and this, I think in 5 years, a lot of this could be possible, but that we could develop, there's an awful lot of small businesses and aspects of using, we'll say, and living on and getting things from the sea that could benefit the island, that it is a thing actually that could spread across the islands as well. So there are small industries to keep everything really granular and local level, that it will be much more sustainable, so that you're not investing a massive amount in one thing, yes, and that it all goes belly up and everything is gone. So you're employing maybe one or two people at a time. And this, I was just thinking of industries a bit like the, say, jigging as a fishing. So you're jigging literally with the jigging line off the boat, and it's producing a high quality fish, and it's much more saleable and all the rest of it. And it's very possible to do from the islands. It doesn't require a big investment in infrastructure or boats or otherwise. You can also use things from like the seaweed or the shellfish, say, in Shirkin. There are different ways of farming and producing that will provide a year-round income, not just depend on the tourists coming in, so that you can merge the whole thing, but that you're using what's right there. You don't have to be bringing in any massive resource. It's sitting right there. It's connected by water. That's the whole defining point of being on an island, and that we need to use that resource in a way that isn't kind of going out there and trashing it. We can either show it to people as a tourism thing, or that we can get out there and use it ourselves and use it on a year-round basis. That's all. It's right there, and it's it would maintain this kind of circular and sustainable kind of economy.
It's home for me, so I'm very passionate about anything that's going to improve it. There's a great sense of community around the place. We have a very young, thriving community. We're very proud of where we come from and promoting it and preserving it as best as possible. So in 2025, we're much more sustainable with regards to food supply and production. Our population has started to increase rather than decrease. The school numbers are increasing in the primary school. More families have come home and began to stay year round and are working from home, working from here year round. And young people have the opportunity to rent, buy, and I suppose start families.
Personally, I would love if we could market ourselves more. We have such incredible businesses here. We have so many people that have these great ideas for the future as well. But I'd love if we could share that more and brand ourselves more. I feel like we see many, many other islands or areas do that super, super well. So I'd love for us to shout more about what we already have.
We have all the elements on the island, everything from sea. We have an abundance of land that's already been used. I think the island itself could be more sustainable than what it is. A lot more sustainable. There's a power outage in Burton Port. Our island struck off. We're in total darkness. Why could we not be the ones feeding the mainland rather than the mainland feeding us? We have something that we can work on and produce something to give rather than taking. We could keep and actually grow what we have.
I'd really like to have the new community centre built. We have more space to do classes and courses and things to just be happening on the island to attract more people. And also to build up the radio station so we can expand that, because I feel that really opened my eyes to how we connected with the other islands and stuff like that. I really enjoyed that aspect, and it gave me the opportunity to meet new people who before I hadn't and stuff. So I'd like that to kind of expand.